Hi, this is Dave Drewy for Pastor Mike Fabares. We're thrilled to be here on your station, exploring the depths of Scripture. And now here's today's edition of Focal Point.
The reward, oh, listen to this. The reward for humility and fear of the Lord is riches, honor, and life. Wow. That one, they might even sell at Costco on the book. But I mean, a book on the fear of God, if it promises riches, honor, and life, sign me up.
The word fear is typically used in a negative context. But is there ever a sense in which fear can be a good thing? Well, it depends on the subject of our fear. Today on Focal Point, Pastor Mike Fabares talks about how fearing the Lord brings blessing. We're in a series called Fear and Fears. And if you've missed any of the previous messages, you can find them online at focalpointradio.org. Now here's Pastor Mike.
Well, I've been having some printer problems at home. You ever have those? Printer problems, and so I decided to fix my printer problems by buying a new printer. And I went online, and I found one on sale, and I had it shipped to my house, and that was a big mistake. Buying a printer on sale. It had all the right things that it said I wanted. It certainly had this feature I thought would be great. It's a wireless printing. Well, that's what I want. I just want everybody to be able to access it wirelessly, print right to it, plug it in, put it in the corner, and it'll be great. Well, I set it up and I got it to print the first time, and then I went back to doing my stuff and hoped my family would have great success with it, and it didn't really work. It worked like 40% of the time. It came with this thing called an instruction manual. I pretty much ignored until I got home and realized no one was having success with the printer. So I picked it up and I flipped through it and I tried to look for keywords that I thought might help me, and I'd read a sentence here and a sentence there and I'd turn back to this page and that page, and I did what I could but didn't seem to help. And I thought, well, this is just too many words here. I'm going to go on the internet and find the answer. That was my second mistake. I went on all these user forums hoping to have somebody just answer my question in just like a paragraph. If I could just get three sentences to fix the problem, that would be great. And all it did was just deepen my confusion and broaden my ignorance, and it wasn't helpful at all until I came to the manufacturer's webpage. And you know what it did for me? It just reprinted the whole instruction manual there on that page. And again, too many words. I don't want to read all that. But I did exactly what I did with the printed one. I just kind of skimmed through it and I looked for words, keywords. I even searched it. I thought, well, this is better. It's got a searchable database. And I searched for the words that I thought might work and didn't work. So then I plugged it in and now it works. So I got a cable for it. So my wireless printer is not working the way I'd hoped. And I thought how sad it must be for those people that write all these instructions. Here they are, I assume. I know they're paid for it, but they're trying to help me use this the way it's intended to be used, and I'm just kind of flipping through it and not sitting down and doing what they expect me to do, and that is to read through it and find out that when it says access point, it doesn't, you know, mean the one on the printer. It means the one on the router. If it has IP address, it doesn't mean the one on my computer. It means the one that's built into the printer. All these things that if I just sat and read it, I would figure these things out and know that I just can't flip for the words I think are going to work, and then they don't work. I mean, it's not defining things in context, and so I don't understand it. And then I thought how frustrating it must be when we write things or give people instructions or write out an email that's important and have people, can you imagine them reading our emails the way that I read these instruction manuals? You see where I'm going with all this? So God sends us, if you will, an instruction manual. Most people don't sit down and read it as we ought, the entirety of it. We just basically flip through it, find keywords we like, we get computer software, we search for keywords that we like, and we try to figure this book out to get God's mind on this, that, or the other, and we really don't understand things in their proper context. We'll read a narrative about someone passing judgment on somebody, and we'll go, well, I've read elsewhere in this instruction manual that, you know, judge not lest you be judged, so this must be bad. And so I'm looking at this with a bent brow, thinking this isn't right what he's doing. And then I don't recall that there's another place over here in the instruction manual that said, oh, you should judge, but with righteous judgment. Well, which applies here? I don't know, because I haven't read the context. We talked about the coming judgment. You think, well, I know what that means because I've read verses about judgment, and that means I'm going to stand before God and he's going to cast me in the lake of fire. Well, I'm a Christian now, so there's no judgment for me. That's great when I run into a passage on judgment. Whew, I'm glad that doesn't apply to me, but I don't read the context to find out, well, there's another judgment called the Bema Seat of Christ judgment, and that does apply to me, but I misunderstand the whole thing because I don't have the whole picture. So this is a common problem we have. Probably no more dramatically felt in modern Christianity than when you come across the word fear. When you see the word fear, you think, well, I hope that doesn't apply to me because that's an unpleasant word and it's filled with unpleasant emotions. And so I know this. I've read it in Joshua 1, you know, fear not. Don't fear these people. Be of good courage. I know Jesus comes on this and he says, don't fear them. So I know fear is not for us. And yet we run across other passages of Scripture, and then we scratch our heads and go, I don't know where to file this one. It says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. If you call on Father, this one impartially judges your life, then live with fear during your exile on earth. Serve the Lord with fear. Fear, the fear of the Lord, beginning of wisdom. And now I don't know what to think. If only there were one verse that would help us untangle these two fears. You've come at the right time. Take your Bibles, if you're not already there, and turn to Luke chapter 12, verse number 5. But for completeness, let's read the whole thing. You follow along as I read it for you. As Jesus says in verse 4, I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who kill the body. I'm thinking, that sounds pretty serious to me. But I'm not supposed to fear that? Well, that's an amazing kind of courage and bravery. Oh, that's awesome. After that, he does try to explain. There's nothing more they can do. Well, that seems like a lot to me. Well, no, there's something worse. But I will warn you whom to fear. Now remember, who's he talking to here? Disciples? What does he call in verse 4? His friends? You want your friends to fear something? I thought it was all about being fearless. Christianity is fearless. I have no fear. I warn you whom to fear. Fear him who, after he is killed, has authority to cast into hell. You want me to fear God? Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Well, this is a hard downshift here. What? Yeah, not one of them is forgotten before God. Well, it sounds like a nice God to me. Why, even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Well, he cares for me that much? Fear not. Yes, you're of more value than many sparrows. What are you talking about? Now, today, let's just deal with one verse. Luke chapter 12, verse number 5. It seems so emphatic. You'll see the word fear here in this verse 3 times, do you not? I'll warn you whom to fear. Fear him, bottom of verse 5. Yes, I tell you, fear him. So I know this, that whatever we're talking about in terms of having fear extracted from my Christian life, there is something here in this text that should be there, and it's using the same word representing something, it seems, of the same kind of emotions, and I've got to figure out what exactly he's affirming here. So let's start just by thinking through the redundancy in this verse, which certainly depicts the frequency of it throughout the Bible, just how often the Bible would tell us to fear God. Let's put it down this way. We need to understand. Think through. Number one, the repeated call to fear God. Why all this talk of fearing God over and over and over again? The fear of God. If you were to start reading in your Bibles, Genesis, wouldn't take long to find that God looks at righteous people like Abraham, who we're supposed to emulate in terms of faith, and at that critical moment in Genesis 22, he is commended personally by God for fearing him. Then you get to other bright spots, like the story of Joseph. And Joseph is said to be a man of character and godliness because he feared the Lord. You'll see the foreign kings chided by God in his commentary in Genesis because they did not fear the Lord. You'll turn to Exodus and you'll see these these Egyptian midwives who are praised, oddly enough, these foreign midwives giving birth, having these Jewish moms give birth to these babies and sparing them, and they're praised because they feared the Lord. You see, the people are described as trustworthy in Israel in Exodus because they learned to fear the Lord. And you could keep going. And you could work all the way to the end of the Bible in Revelation. And you know what you'd find? Hundreds of references to the positive characterization of people who fear God. I looked up the basic Hebrew and Greek words that translate into words like afraid and fear and fears and feared. And I came up with a list, and this is not all the nuanced statements about trembling or dread. I'm just talking about the basic plain words, fear. And I looked from Genesis to Malachi, Matthew to Revelation, Hebrew, Greek, throw those all on a database, and I came up with 611 passages. 611 passages, and I said, you know, what would be really good is to do my own study on this, not going to trust a commentary or anything else, haven't even seen this done in a commentary, but I'm going to look up every single reference in its context, read it, and put it in one of two categories. Just two major categories. Is this something I'm told not to do? Is this an example of something I should not follow? Or is this posited and posed in some way as something I should have and something I should do? In other words, is fear commended in this passage or is it condemned? Is it a fear not passage or is it a fear God passage? Out of 611, and it's always poetic the way God seems to do this, 305 of them were positive, 306 of them were fear not. The objects were different. The idea of who's doing it and why, those are all important in context. But 50% of the passages in the Bible, from beginning to end, Old and New Testament, when fear and afraid is put before our eyes on the printed page of Scripture, we're told half the time, you better fear, and the other half, don't fear. Now that's a lot of commands to fear the Lord. Why is God telling us so often that we ought to fear him? Oh, he's telling us not to fear them, not to fear others, don't fear the army, don't fear the peril, don't fear if 1,000 fall by your side, don't fear, don't fear, don't fear, don't. But then equally, fear, 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 fear. Well, there's a lot of passages that would speak to why. Which book speaks the most to the fear of God? A lot of you Sunday school graduates would say the book of Proverbs, and you're right, because I want to spend some time right now skimming our way through the book of Proverbs. And while I could turn you to twice as many, let me give you a list of a few that would give us the answer to the question, why so often does he tell us to fear him? Why? Well, let me at least say this, because there's a lot of benefits attached to it. Let's start in chapter 9 with one of the most obvious, one I'm sure that you've heard. So let's go to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 9, and let's see the things that the Bible holds out to us as promises and benefits if you would just learn to fear the Lord. Chapter 9, verse 10. A lot of you could quote this from memory. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It doesn't say the fear of the Lord is the apex of wisdom, the summit of wisdom, varsity wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I'm not even started on the road to wisdom until I learn to fear the Lord. I can't even get through the portal or the front door of being a wise person unless I fear the Lord. I'd like to be a wise person. Well, I can't get there without fearing the Lord, according to the Bible, repeated many times in the Scripture, particularly in the book of Proverbs. Look across the page, chapter 10, verse 27. The fear of the Lord, look how practical this gets. What's the next two words there? Prolongs life. Wow. I think of the Bible being so, you know, excited about giving that command to children to obey your parents because it's the first command with a promise. And what was the promise? That you'd live a long time on the earth. So life is expanded by that to kids. Hey, obey your parents. This is a great start for your life. And now it says, hey, grown-ups, you want a life that doesn't end prematurely? Fear the Lord. Prolongs life. But the years of the wicked will be cut short. Chapter 14. This one, especially you parents, put your eyeballs on this one. You got kids in your home? Here's an important promise appended to this command to fear the Lord. 14:26. In the fear of the Lord, one has a strong confidence. Sometimes translated a strong fortress, a bulwark. There's something you have in your life that's like a battleship. And then look at the next line. And his children, the one who fears the Lord, his children will have a refuge. You want to provide a home for your kids with a kind of protection from the Lord? Maybe some of the books you've been reading have been missing one of the key ingredients about parenting. Mom and dad, learn to fear the Lord. Chapter 19. Let's not leave 14 yet. Look at the next verse. Here's another one. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life that one may turn away from the snares of death. Now, fountain of life, that may be poetic and take some time to try and figure out in other passages of Scripture, but I understand the idea here of the snares of death. I'd like my life not to be characterized by the snares of death. Learn to fear the Lord. Fountain of life. Life without snares. Now, chapter 19, verse 23. 19:23, and if you can't keep up with your nimble fingers, at least jot them down. 19:23, let's look at the other promise here. As a matter of fact, as you move through these, I know many of you have never heard an entire sermon on the fear of God. You're going to be feeling like you've had some clergy malpractice, you know, in your life, because all of the great things God says you can have if you learn to fear the Lord. And you're going to think, why don't we hear this more often? Well, you don't hear it because it's an unpleasant thing, isn't it? Fear? I don't want to fear anything. I thought Christians were supposed to be fearless. Verse 23, the fear of the Lord leads to life, and whoever has it, what are the next two words? Rests satisfied. Well, that'll preach right there, huh? I'd like to rest satisfied. Yeah, that's what I want. Not be visited by harm. Well, there are a lot of books being written about how to have Christians have a restful, satisfied, protected, non-harm-filled life. Well, we need more books on the fear of God. Chapter 22, verse 4. I mean, it's starting to sound like the prosperity gospel, but through a means that you're never going to hear them preach on. 22:4. The reward, oh, listen to this. The reward for humility and fear of the Lord is riches, honor, and life. Wow. That one, they might even sell at Costco on the book. But, I mean, a book on the fear of God, if it promises riches, honor, and life, sign me up. Chapter 28, verse 14. Chapter 28, verse 14. Blessed, there's our great Hebrew word, Asher. This is a positive word that deals with my disposition. It's almost a paradox the way it's stated. Blessed is the one who fears the Lord always. Happily optimistic, relieved, and happy is the one who fears the Lord always? Wow. Yeah, but if you harden your heart, if you try to get that shield up so you don't have any negative feeling, negative emotion, don't want any of that, you're going to fall into calamity. You can jot this one down, but I know you know this one by heart. At least the ladies in the room know it. Proverbs 31:30. Proverbs 31:30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who has been to charm school, no. Is pretty, no. Isn't overweight, no. What? Fears the Lord is to be praised. Wow, that's kind of nice. Well, that sounds almost, I don't know, self-serving. Riches, honor, life, praised, blessed, satisfied, resting, life without snares, confidence, kids secure, long life, wisdom. That's great. I think we need more attention on the fear of God. And that's just one book. We could go all over the Bible. There are 305 of these by my count and study this week that will help you understand what a positive thing it is for us to learn to fear the Lord. Well, what does it mean? All right, get your pencils ready. Fear means fear. Well, he earned his paycheck right there, baby. That was genius. Our pastor's so smart. Fear means fear. Well, no, help me with it, man. Fear, fear means fear. I mean, what is fear? I mean, if you're 4 year old, so what does fear mean? I mean, your 4 year old never asked that because your 4 year old knows that. But what would you say? Well, it's uncomfortable, unpleasant, uneasy feeling, a discontented. It's a bad emotion. It's a bad feeling. It is an unsettling, uncomfortable, unpleasant. Uneasy feeling. Now think this through, and you know this, but when do I feel those feelings and call it fear? Well, it's when I'm encountering something or someone who has the unilateral ability, the unilateral power to be able to negatively impact my well-being. Now that sounds more like what our pastor might define it as. Okay, great, there it is. An uneasy, unpleasant, uncomfortable feeling facing something that unilaterally can decide to negatively impact my well-being. Now, I grew up here in Southern California, obviously not a surfer guy, but you know, I did a few years out there, and I remember one time out there in the third break, Huntington Cliffs, beautiful day between sets, sitting out there. My buddy who was with me was kind of cold, had our wetsuits on and all of that, and he was down the way, 200 yards away, and there I sat as all of a sudden I hear and turn and look at this fin come out of the water. This was after Jaws came out. You know what I felt? Fear. You would too. Unsettled, uncomfortable, uneasy, unpleasant feeling. Because here was this weird thing in the water, this shark brain that could unilaterally decide to negatively impact my well-being. Right? Easily. And in that, I was afraid because he wasn't going to ask me if I wanted to be eaten for lunch. He wasn't going to say, what do you think about this? You weigh in on this. He was going to unilaterally decide what was going to happen to me that day. And that made me afraid and made me a very fast swimmer, knowing, of course, that he could unilaterally decide to swim faster than me. Went to college in Chicago. Thought I was pretty tough guy. Was told not to go in certain neighborhoods. Thought I'd try it anyway. What's this like? How bad could it be for this white kid from Long Beach? I'll be all right. Pretty tough. Walk down the wrong street, encounter this group of people who could unilaterally decide to negatively impact my well-being. And I was afraid, very afraid, because they weren't going to ask me, take a vote, Mike, you got veto power here. We'd like to mug you, rob you, perhaps kill you. Are you interested? Do you want to? No, they were going to decide this without my input. I was afraid, unpleasant, uncomfortable, unsettled, uneasy. It's a bad feeling.
Our subject today is the fear of God on Focal Point with Pastor Mike Fabares. Well, there's more to come in this message. But in the meantime, you can listen again or share the sermon with a friend at focalpointradio.org. Well, the concept of fearing God doesn't jive with modern sensibilities. In our culture of unconditional acceptance, many are tempted to focus on God's love and kindness while downplaying His justice and wrath. But as Pastor Mike has been explaining, the only solution to our anxiety about life is a biblical fear and awe of our Creator. That's why at Focal Point, we're committed to never watering down or sugarcoating God's Word. And when you give to this ministry, you're helping us bring these messages to a world that so desperately needs this anchor of truth. Will you join with us today by calling 888-320-5885? And if the subject of fear has touched a sensitive spot in your life today, then we'd love to send you a book that's right in line with this message. It's titled, How to Overcome Worry, Experiencing the Peace of God in Every Situation. The author, Dr. Winfred Neely, shares personal stories from his time ministering in West Africa, stories of heartache and struggle, to illustrate how God's peace can pervade even the hardest circumstances. Ask for your copy of this powerful book when you donate by calling 888-320-5885. Or request your copy at focalpointradio.org. If you'd rather mail your donation, write to Focal Point, Post Office Box 2850, Laguna Hills, California, 92654. And make sure you include a note requesting the book, How to Overcome Worry. Maybe you aren't in a position to donate today. We'd still love to hear from you. And when you get in touch, we'll send you a free CD featuring one of our favorite messages from this series. Ask for your copy of the CD when you call 888-320-5885. Well, I'm your host, Dave Drewy. Glad you joined us today. And be sure to come back tomorrow for this week's edition of Ask Pastor Mike. we'll be tackling a controversial subject, whether or not Christians should undergo plastic surgery. That's Friday on Focal Point. Today's program was produced and sponsored by Focal Point Ministries.